us for
If, say that word with me, if. Have you ever caught yourself saying that word, if? If only I would have studied for that test, I would have passed. If only I wasn't speeding, I wouldn't have got that speeding ticket. If only Robert Rainey wasn't wearing a Green Bay Packers shirt, he would still be my friend. Of course you are, in your mind. If Jesus loves me so much, why is my life so messed up? If, lots of ifs in our life. We all have lists of ifs in our life that we can't change now. After the cop pulled you over, it was too late. You were speeding. If only you weren't. When that F shows up on your paper because you didn't study, that if is too late. It's over. That time has passed. However, as we look ahead to this new year, 2020, how many of you are still in awe that it's 2020 and you're still on this planet? I remember in junior high school hearing 2020 and thinking, oh my gosh, that's a way far away, and it was, really. But I was also lied to because I was told that my car would fly by now. Right? Yes. How many of you thought you would be flying by now? Your car would fly. Just a few of you. Those of you that are my age and older. Okay, the rest of you, you probably will have flying cars someday. Anyways, Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Says this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's all I needed to tell you. Let's go home. Just kidding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you, God, that we had this opportunity to worship you with song. And with our voices and with our hands and our feet and our instruments. And God, I thank you that we've had the opportunity to worship you with our giving. And God, I thank you that our kids are in classrooms right now where they're being taught about your love and how amazing you are. And God, we're in here. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak the words that I need to speak. Help me to communicate them in a way that makes sense. And anything that I don't need to say, then shut my mouth. God, I pray that you'd open our ears and our hearts to hear and receive everything that you have for us today. God, I pray that as we enter into this new year, 2020, that the ifs of our past that were negative, God, I pray that this year our ifs could be positive. They could be things that if you did this or if we do something, you'll do this in our life or you'll do this through us. God, as we talk about that this morning, I pray that you would just be here and you would touch our hearts and help us all to learn and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Like two people. Wow, everyone else is like, I failed so many times, I quit doing it, right? A lot of times we make New Year's resolutions, and a lot of times within a week, a day, an hour, I don't know, within a very short amount of time, we blow it. And we are like, okay, I was going to, you know, do this year, and I was going to do that this year. And, you know, 30 days in, you've already eaten a whole chocolate pie. And so you're like, all right, I give up, or I became a Packers fan. For whatever reason, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense at all to me. But anyways, we've all made news resolutions, and a lot of times we've broken them in our life. But how often do we break the things that God is trying to do in us? As believers, we are to be imitators of God and walk in love. And yet all too often, we don't live that way. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute, and I want you to listen to these words, okay? And see if any of this rings true in you. If I am truly a believer, why am I so judgmental towards others? If I call myself a brother in Christ, why do I speak ill towards my brothers in Christ? If I'm a Christian, why do I hate so much? If Jesus is really the Lord of my life, why will I not submit my life to him? If I truly love and fear God, why do I take his name in vain? If I am a child of God, why do I turn my back on my Father? If I am forgiven through the blood of Jesus, why won't I forgive those who have hurt me? It's not fun to hear those words. Speaking for myself, all too often, some of those things are true. They're real. I say this about myself, but I don't act that way, or I don't speak that way, or I don't think that way, or I don't love that way. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to speak ill towards others. I don't want to hate. I don't want to, you know, or not submit my life wholly to God. I don't want to speak God's name out of anger or turn my back on him. And I don't want to be a person who won't forgive others. So why do I? When I read further in Ephesians chapter 5, I see a list of things that I shouldn't do as a follower of Christ. Things like impurity or covetousness. Things like foolish talk or crude joking. Instead, I'm supposed to walk as a child of light. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." See, every year I tell myself, this is the year. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to exercise. I'm not going to kick my dog. I'm going to do all these things, right? I say all these things that I'm going to do. And every year, somewhere along the way, I miss the mark. And so, you know, again, this year, I've been telling myself, okay, John, this is your year. This is the year that you're going to get your stuff together. You're going to physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever, you're going to get your act together. I'm going to do it. I really am. So far, I got a C minus in some areas. In other areas, I've got a B plus. But however, what I really want to do this year is I want to live like that. I want to live like what we just read. I want to be a light in this world, and I want to make a difference. Can you imagine just think about this for a second. If we as a church listen to everything that God is leading us to do and we actually followed through and did them, what an impact we could make in Liberty. Now, I'm not saying we don't already do things in our community, but what if we totally submitted this church to His will? What if all of us work together as a community? Each one of us has been called to a certain role. Some of you are feet, some of you are hands, some of you are mouthpieces, some of you are ears, some of you are shoulders. Some of you are strong backs. Each one of us plays an important part in this church. But in the church, across the globe, every person is important. Every person has God-given gifts, talents, and abilities that are unique to them that God wants to use. In Romans 12:1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If we live like that, imagine how bright our light would shine. Or what if we followed these words in 1 Peter? Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. If we prepared ourselves for action and we weren't swayed by what we wanted and we conducted ourselves as holy people, how much would that change in a positive way the relationships that we have in our lives? I love what Philippians 2:1-4 says. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let's take a look at the ifs in those verses. First one is, if there is any encouragement. And we're going to talk about these more in just a second, but that's the first one. If there's any encouragement. You guys need to be encouraged? All of us do, right? If any comfort from love. Sounds good. If any participation in the Spirit. In other words, all of us working together in the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And there we go. If any affection and sympathy or compassion, okay? Then be of the same mind, same love, be united. Don't be selfish or conceited. Be humble and put others first. That's how to truly live, right? So how do we live like that? If we know how to live, or we know what we're supposed to do, but how do we do that? Okay? If we look back at Philippians 2:1-4, we see that these verses are traits of Jesus. And if we live with these traits, we're living like Jesus. Okay? Going back to these, encouragement. He wants us to live in unity, encouraging those around us. He doesn't want the church to mumble and complain. And I'm talking about just our church. I'm talking about the church in general. The problem with the church across the globe is that there's all this little infighting. There's, you guys are too liberal, or you guys are too conservative, or you guys are too this, or you guys speak in tongues, and you guys don't even use music, or you guys, you only use the Old Testament, or you guys only use the New Testament. Blah, 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 right? It just goes on and on, and we fight about stuff, and yet there's a world out there that is watching us, and they see the hatred that we have for our own brothers and sisters in Christ because they don't believe exactly like we believe. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe he died on the cross for our sins. And if we believe in him and we live our life and make him the Lord of our life, then, you know, someday we'll go to heaven. They might believe those basic things, but there's other little things that we fight about and the world is watching. And it's no wonder that when our light is like so dim, it's because we're not living brightly like we should be. Personally, I don't like bright lights. These are shining on my face, and you guys need shades to, you know, cover this. But I don't like bright lights. My office, I never turn on the lights. I either sit in the darkness or I just have a little lamp. I don't like bright light when it comes to being in a room. However, I want to be a bright light. I want this church to be a bright light. When it's completely dark in a room and you can't see your hand in front of your face, you ever been to a cave, like, you know, like on a cave tour or whatever, and you go in and then like, okay, everybody, don't move. We're going to turn the lights off. And they turn the light off, and you can put your hand right there, and you can't even see that. And then they turn on one little itty-bitty light. And it's like, whoa. You know why? Because light dispels the darkness. And we as the church need to shine bright. And one of the ways that we can do that is being encouraging to one another and being encouraging to the world. And not grumble and complain about every little thing. The next one is love. Love should be selfless and sacrificial. We should love all, the lovable and the unlovable. When you walk into this church, when you walk through those doors right there, you should feel loved. And if you don't, then we are failing. If you're sitting here right now and you feel like nobody in this room loves you, I'm sorry. So let's do something about that real quick. Those of you in the first like five rows, just turn around for a second. And those of you that are that way, you're already facing this way. On the count of three, everybody just say, look at whoever that you can see and say, I love you. Ready? One, two, three. I love you. Love you.
I love you all.
Amen. Everybody deserves to be loved, right? Everybody deserves to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved, even those that act like they don't. They want to be loved, and everybody deserves it. And so when you walk in this church, I pray to God that we are a church that makes people walk, when they walk through that door, they feel like they're loved. If a newcomer walks through those doors, I don't want you guys to jump on them, but get out of the conversation that you're having with the person that you always talk to every week anyways, and when you see somebody you don't know, go talk to them. Make them feel loved. When you're out on the street and you see somebody who looks sad and alone, don't be weird. Just walk up to them and say, hey, you okay? Anything I can do for you? For those of you that high school kids or junior high kids that might be in here, if you're in school, if you have somebody that you see who always sits by themselves, go sit by them. I don't care if they're a dork or not. You're a dork too. If you have a job and you have people that you work with that are always alone and always seem depressed or sad or lonely, get out of your comfort zone. Jesus lives inside of you if you believe him, if you believe in him. Jesus loved everybody, even the jerk Pharisees. He still loved them. He put them in their place a lot, but he loved them. Love the lovable and the unlovable. The next one is participation in the Spirit. This means that we as believers are participating in the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And because of this, we are working together to accomplish all that God has for us to do. The Holy Spirit is the one that came after Jesus went back up to heaven. He said, I'm going to send one that's going to be awesome. He's going to comfort you. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. All these great things. And as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And hopefully you hear his voice, maybe not audibly, but when you pray, when you're wondering, okay, what do I do now? When you've got big decisions to make, hopefully you hear that little voice in your head that tells you, do this, Tom. Tom's like, got it, Lord. I'll go do that today. John, go tell Robert you love him even though he's wearing a Green Bay Packers shirt. Okay, Lord. Robert, I love you. Don't love your shirt, but I love you. See, when we are participating together in the Holy Spirit, and we're all listening as a church, we're all listening to what God wants to do in this place and through this place and in our lives and through our lives and through us as a community, then we are participating in the same Spirit, and God can do great and mighty things through that. And then the last one is affection and sympathy. As I mentioned before, this is also known as compassion. If we let the compassion of Christ move through us, we will be willing to reach out to those who need us and need him more so than even us, right? I believe that you're in this church this morning, either because someone dragged you kicking and screaming, you're a first-time guest, or you love this place and you have relationship with people in this place and you feel comfortable in this place and you feel God's presence in this place. If that's the case, if you're here for that last reason, there's no reason that you shouldn't be sharing that with other people. You see, if God is really in control here, if God is really in control at the church, at Journey Church across the street, if God is really in control at Pleasant Valley, if God is really in control in all these different places, and all of us as believers really believe that and we really do our best to show compassion for other people, then why are there churches that are closing, that they're empty, that there's nobody there? There's not enough churches to get the people that need to know about the love of Christ into. There's like 50 churches in our little town, okay? And yet, probably 60% of them, probably more than that, are 100 people or less. And so if we have compassion for other people, if we know that God is here and he speaks to you while you're here and you have an awesome time worshiping and you have great friendships, then why are we not bringing people in? Why are we not inviting our neighbors and our coworkers and our family? Why do we have empty chairs? Why do they have empty chairs? Why do they have empty chairs? Why do they have empty chairs? See, God loves everybody, and he wants every church to be bursting at the seams because he wants people's lives to be transformed. Now, you can find God in a lot of other places other than just in a church building, right? I mean, God's everywhere, so it doesn't have to just necessarily be in a building. But if you have compassion for other people, then let your light shine and love on them. Connie, I'm going to pick on you for a second. Connie loves people. Connie has compassion for everybody. And Connie goes out of her way to reach out to other people. She goes into places that maybe some of us would be uncomfortable going to. Streets, parks, whatever, and reaching out to people because she loves them and has compassion for them. That's awesome. And I'm not saying everybody here has to do that. You do whatever God calls you to do. If God says, hey, Tammy, I want you to reach out to this certain group of people, then Tammy does that. Mike, I want you to reach out to this certain group of people because that's who's going to relate to you. And not that he won't call you to do things out of your comfort zone. He will, right? You went to Africa and you had no intention of ever going to Africa. I've told God a million times, God, I'll go anywhere but China, the Middle East, Africa, all these places. You know, I've got all these places in my mind where I'm like, I'm not going there, you know. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Anyways. Yep. So, you know, Australia, Gold Coast, yeah, whatever, man. That sounds great. Surf's up. Anyways, just be willing. Be willing to do whatever God calls you to do. See, I want to live 2020 like I've never lived before. I want to be less stressed. Right, Stacy? Stress. How many people are in this room are stressed right now? A lot of people are stressed. Let's live 2020 with less stress. I'm good for that. I want to have more fun. I want to have more fun. I want to make new friends. I want my marriage to be stronger than ever. I want my relationship with my kids to be awesome. I want to be more positive. I want. More than any of that, I want to live like Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to walk in love and I want to be a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I want what he wants for me, not what I want for me. And if I live this way, I can only imagine how God will use me. If you live this way, I can only imagine how God can use you. And if we as a church live this way, can you imagine the potential impact on our community? Maybe 2019 was rough. Maybe right now you're like, I am not in the mood to hear this kind of stuff because I've been walking through some really dark times. And I have not been listening to God and I don't care right now because I just got too much on my plate. Maybe that's what you're thinking about right now. Here's the deal. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you have a bad attitude about 2020 right now because 2019 really stunk, here's the good news. Today's a new day. It's a new year. It's 2020. Your car's flying by 2022. Don't kick yourself for struggling, but get up, wipe yourself off, and start a new day. Remember that song? I'm not going to sing it. Now, that's not to say that we should be lazy or complacent. If God has been calling you to do something and you've refused, that's on you. If God's been calling me to do stuff and I haven't been doing it, that's on me. Guilty. But don't be condemned, but be convicted and repent and then act. Do the things that he's called you to do. If we let our light shine bright, just imagine what we can do. If we as a church completely submit ourselves and our leadership and everything that we do to God, what kind of an impact could we have? If each one of us who loves this church brought others in so they too could experience the love of Jesus. We have to buy more chairs. Or build an East Wing. Name it after Mike Humphrey. Because Mike's awesome. There's so many ifs that can be positive And so my prayer for all of us is that as we walk out of here today, we'd be forgetting about those ifs that are too late, like the if I didn't speed on the way to church, I would have been on, you know, I would have not gotten that ticket, or if I wouldn't have stopped for that donut, I would have been on time. But think about the ifs in the potential that God can do in you. Forget about the past. It's a new year. Start over again. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're unchanging. You're faithful. You're loving. You're compassionate. You're patient. All of the things that we want to be that we fail so much in, it seems like. God, I pray that 2020 would be an awesome year for each and every one of us. I pray that we would leave behind the stuff of 2019, 2018, 17, and so on. And we would start this year fresh. The ifs of our past are in the past. The ifs of our present are in the present and in the future. God, if I submit myself to you this year, I'm asking you to use me like never before. If we as a church listen and obey and do the will of you, then use us, God, in a great and mighty way to have a huge impact on liberty and beyond. God, in spite of us, use us anyways. But God, I want to live for you, and I want this church to be a beacon in this place. God, I pray that each person in this room would be used by you like never before this year. I pray that at the end of 2020, we wouldn't have any negative ifs to look back at. They'd all be things that were because you took control. And we did great things through our lives, individually and as a church, because we submitted ourselves to you. And God, if there's people in this room today that don't know you, maybe they've had a rough life. Maybe they just have had a hard time letting go. If today, God, they lay down their life before you, I pray that you would accept them into your arms and you would radically change them to be children of light. God, as we go from this place, I ask that we would be encouraged, we would be loved, we'd be full of the Holy Spirit, and we would have compassion for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Shut the battery.
Shalom.